up, everybody? It's your boy Rich, aka Library Monster, back for another episode of Behind the Library. Oh man, we got a lot to cover today. This is we live in a weird time, man. Like, seriously, that we're not even out of this election thing yet, and I don't want to get too heavy on the political nonsense because it's turning me off, and I used to be a political junkie. So if it's turning me off, I know it's turning a lot of you guys off. We learned very few things about this country in the last few days, and some of the things we learned are absolutely hysterical to me. So what I want to do is I just want to suggest something, and it, you know, it's radical, but here's what we do. This is straight out of Mortal Kombat. This is what we're going to do. We'll be decided as it should be. We have Joe Biden and we have Donald Trump just duke it out. Like winner take all Mortal Kombat style, man. Because this is not going to be settled. Put it this way. I would rather two old men beat each other's brains in than have the country I love torn apart. It is insane the things that are happening. And the one thing that I've realized over the past few days, we need to rethink how we've constructed the country. And I don't mean like we get rid of the Electoral College or any of that, because I actually like the Electoral College, but some of the states, it's just ridiculous to even have as a thing. Like, this is my personal ignorance, right? I thought Nevada had a lot of people in it. I thought, because I'm like, okay, there's Reno, there's Vegas, you know, there's got to be a couple million, right? There is nobody in Nevada. There's just no one is there. The only things that are in Nevada are hookers and aliens. Like that, and like 40 Gila monsters. There is nothing in that state. And because I'm looking at the election returns, I'm like, I'm thinking there's going to be 4 million, 5 million. There's nobody there. Either that or they just gave up and don't care about voting anymore, which is entirely possible. But there's nobody there. I look at some of the other states as they're coming in. Wyoming, there's like three people in a shed somewhere to run that whole state. This is ridiculous. Why do these people have a say? And I feel bad. I do feel bad because, you know, we're all in the same country. I get it. But we are so spread out across this gigantic wilderness that it's just like, what are we doing here? And you know what it made me think of? I'm going to play it for you in a little while, but this was the genius of this comedian, Patrice O'Neill, the late, great Patrice O'Neill. He died early on in his career, tragically, but he was so smart and so astute with some of these things, and he came up with the United Areas of America. It's a great bit. It's hilarious. It has so much truth in it, and actually, if you're watching this on YouTube, you could see it in my backdrop right here. But I'm going to play this short video for you guys. Listen up. It is comical, but it's so true, man. Check it out. Patrice O'Neill on Opie and Anthony. Can I see a map, please? Because I could do this one. United Areas of America. I need to see a map, because I'll tell you what doesn't matter. Billy, God, it's
makes a lot of sense.
It's just like subdivisions. Texas gets Louisiana, Oklahoma, New Mexico, Kansas, and Colorado. Sucked in by fucking Texas.
One big Texas.
California, which would be Los Angeles, gets Nevada, Arizona, and Utah. Colorado gets sucked in by Texas. Colorado gets, because Denver is a bad motherfucker, but it's just not enough. Washington and Oregon split. Montana, North Dakota, South Dakota, Wyoming, and Idaho will now be called Portland.
Wow, that's huge.
Now we have, all right,
moving on.
We have Chicago.
Okay.
Chicago will be now consist of Indiana, Ohio, Iowa, and Missouri. Okay?
Yeah. What about Michigan and Wisconsin?
Michigan's in there. All of that is now called Chicago. Perfect. No.
What happened to?
Wait a minute. No. New York will be.
Jersey,
New York will be New England and Connecticut.
Holy shit.
So. Fuck.
You got this figure out. Go to the top. Go to Maine and work your way down now. You got the Boston thing figured out.
Because New York is so important.
Yes.
It should be as big as swallowing up.
Hold on, I got it.
Texas.
I got it. Should eat Ohio and Michigan and Rhode Island and Connecticut and Jersey.
And Maine.
You
Boston.
Get Rhode Island.
And let's take New Brunswick, Nova Scotia. As New England and
right.
Boston.
Yeah, you just
take
that shit over.
We're taking fucking parts of Canada.
Professor Patrice, what happens to the Red Sox-Yankees rivalry?
They gotta get together.
Yeah.
And wait.
How's that gonna happen?
We can have, wait a minute, we can have still have sports. I'm talking about, look, there's gonna be some shit going on. And then we have to maybe, wait a second, because football, basketball, all these things are old too. We should start to develop some new, more powerful sports. Some fucking sports that where these seven motherfuckers
big
that play
ass,
or whatever,
yeah.
It's some major shit.
Yeah.
And it'll
time.
Be, wait, we can instead of 11 guys playing football, let's have 33 on each side. Let's fucking,
how big's the field?
Humongous, nigga.
Classic.
We can just turn it and fucking, we can turn Iowa into a fucking a stadium.
Just for sports. All right, so New York takes everything above it and Jersey.
And we make Miami will be, Miami will be Alabama. It
Georgia.
Will, it will be South Carolina. Mm. It will be Tennessee. And North Carolina gets to survive. North Carolina will be part of D.C. So D.C. now will be made of Virginia, North Carolina, West Virginia, and Kentucky. That will be called Charlotte. Oh, no, D.C. town. That will be D.C.
town. D.C.
town.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
I'm
yes.
in. I like this.
Yes.
I like big change like that. That's good. I'm in. When do we vote on this
and
referendum?
And we erase this shitty... these lines.
All those imaginary lines have to go.
Got
to
get rid of them.
Make new imaginary lines. Because we can.
And you know what? And we shut down all those shitty highways, those halfway. It's just a big 95
major.
That shoots through a big ass 580, a big ass 1, and you fucking deal with that. And you make the fucking highways 50 lanes. And that's the infrastructure.
Just big.
That's
everything's
the
infrastructure. Got to be big. 50 lane highways. 50 lanes.
That'd be really confusing.
You have to get over to the right.
The United Areas of America.
Just brilliant. Just brilliant. The United Areas of America. It's just a hysterical bit, but it's so true. It's just like, there is so much just empty space in this country where nothing apparently is going on. and so when we have elections like we have, it's just causing problems. There was a video on TikTok of an older Asian grandmother, and she is just ranting about what's going on in Nevada right now. She's looking at, because they have like the CNN map on the screen and talking about how it's taking a long time to count the votes in Nevada and yada, yada, yada. And she's like, why is it taking such a long time to count over there? They have casinos. They know numbers there. What's going on? And I'm just like, right on, Granny. Like, this doesn't make any type of sense, man. But we live in weird times. What can you say? I'm done trying to make sense of it, but I honestly think some of these lines have to go. So, United Areas of America, that's where I'm at with it. But some good things, we did learn some good things about this country in the last few hours. Apparently, New Jersey got with the program. They said, we're going to free the weed right now. New Jersey has legalized marijuana. And it was smart move. You know, look, it was a dumb thing to have be illegal in the first place. Let's be honest. When you got booze and you got cigarettes and you don't have pot, it's just dumb. And then now everyone is broke. So we all need new forms of, you know, we need new tax revenue coming in. And the funny thing about New Jersey legalizing weed is New York is going to follow suit. I mean, Cuomo said this is the year marijuana gets legalized in New York. He thinks by 2021 it's going to be legal because it comes down to the money. They didn't care about all the people that got locked up for BS reasons. All the people that lost scholarships and lost everything over a little dime bag or whatever of weed. But now the state needs money, so we're going to legalize pot finally. And you telling me that they don't need to be reforming the justice system? What are you kidding me? But at least we're going to get some weed. I mean, it's going to be legal here. People are going to be able to buy it. You know what I mean? You know, people that are in pain and AIDS and cancer patients are not going to have to jump through hoops. They can go to the damn corner bodega and get everything they need. So, silver lining. But the dark side of that is, I don't know what's going on in Oregon, but Oregon decided to legalize all the drugs. Crack, meth, heroin, coke, they went completely in. And I'm just like, this explains Portland. Look, the libertarian side of me is like, good, right? But at the end of the day, I mean, there is a world of difference between heroin and marijuana. And if you can't see that, there's something wrong with you, because one turns you into a monster, the other one makes you sleepy, laugh, and hungry. I hope you know which is which. So, Oregon, I don't know what's up, but I'm not going to be drinking the water there anytime soon, you know, mess around and have a hallucination or something. Not that, you know, some hard drugs shouldn't be legal, like the psychedelics, I think we should start considering legalization. Because there's a lot of evidence to suggest that psychedelics actually help people that have post-traumatic stress disorder and such, which is a good thing. I mean, honestly, we need to explore these options. You know, I started listening to Joe Rogan after his video on, what is it, DMT. And I read DMT, the spirit molecule. By Dr. Lee Strassman. It explores that, and it's the most powerful psychedelic known to man, and it explores that. And so I'll do a book review on that at a later time, because it is a very fascinating topic and a really great book. But we need to explore some of these things, some of these concepts, because look, the reality is that people suffer from mental health issues, and whatever helps them, whatever it is, we should explore it, at least, you know, at least examine it. And apparently there is a lot of medical studies that are coming out that explore PTSD, especially when with respect to veterans, and they're having a lot of success with things like magic mushrooms, psychedelic mushrooms. And you know, I personally have experimented with psychedelic mushrooms. I didn't have the best trip on it. I'm going to be really honest with you. It started out great, and then it took a left turn. But I think that if we have these things in a controlled environment where people could use them, and they're observed by medical professionals and such, and I think we'll have a lot better situation with respect to them being utilized. And you know, a lot of good can come from it. So pot and psychedelics, that's where I land on this. When it comes to crack and cocaine and heroin, it's a hard no for me. So I honestly worry for Oregon now, because it seems like then everybody who wants to shoot up, snort up, is just going to hightail it over to Portland, and that is going to just be this nightmarish location of people just wandering around scratching themselves asking for, you know, their next fix. So I hope that's not the case. I hope I'm wrong, because, you know, I have a libertarian slant to me, you know, even though I'm on the left and I would consider myself more of a classical liberal. But You know, so I've read a lot of stuff on actually legalizing all drugs. And there are some fair arguments to that. You know, some people say that, you know, if you legalized every drug, the prices of it would come down. And if a person develops a habit, well, they'll be able to manage that habit without falling into poverty. And that's a fair argument. You know, they say that you can tax all these substances and then that, you know, brings more revenue to the state. That's a fair argument. But at the end of the day, I think that some drugs, the pain that comes about from doing it far outweighs any benefit to the individual or to the society. But some people are really heavy on the individual liberty, man, and they just think that, hey, you know, it's my body, I can do whatever I want to it, and if I want to shoot it up with a substance, then that's my business. But, you know, it's one more thing that we have to wrestle with in this country, that we have to rethink how we relate to one another in this country. Because one thing is certain, we have a lot of bullshit to deal with in this country. It's there's so many things that are pretentious here that it is amazing, and you can't escape it. It's everywhere. But the thing that stinks out to me is the fact that this is somehow outside of the human experience and this is an American thing. I think we're just getting there. We're getting to where the world is going, and we're getting there first just because we're the top dog. So honestly, it's an amazing phenomenon, and you have to understand how to deal with it. You have to understand how to deal with the bullshit, and a lot of people don't, and they suffer mental health issues. So maybe we come full circle and we need some of these substances just to be able to survive day to day in the situation that we're in. You know, comedian by the name of George Carlin, you might have heard of him. I'm just joking. He's the greatest that ever was. Had a great take on American bullshit. I'm going to play that for you two right now because it's so applicable to what's going on. It's a little dated though. You'll see what I mean. I mean, what else can you say? He's absolutely right. We're so drowning in bullshit as a nation that we actually take pride in that. And we don't like being bullshitted, but we will accept bullshit when we anticipate it. It's like if we hear it from politicians, we're like, yeah. That's what it is. If we hear it from a businessman, you know, we may be upset because he's trying to rip us off. But at the end of the day, we go, that's what they do, you know. And the funny thing is, that brings me to the book for today's episode. It's actually called On Bullshit. I'm holding it up for those that are watching on YouTube. It's On Bullshit. It's by Harry G. Frankfurt. Now, this is a philosophical text, okay? So, you know, if you only are into reading, like, fiction and stuff like that, this isn't for you. But it's worth a read because it's very short. I mean, less than 100 pages, and it's a very small book. But what the author attempts to do is to define bullshit. Because his biggest problem is that because we don't have a standard definition of bullshit, it's hard to pin down where it comes from. And, It's just, it's a hell of a read in that it makes you think about the term bullshit, but it also makes you think about what falls into that and why we think of it the way we do. So, I mean, I honestly, if I was up to me and I was designing a book jacket for this, I would drape it in like red, white, and blue because it's going to help you to understand where bullshit is coming from in our society. And as I said, this is not an American phenomenon. This is a human thing. We're just getting there first. It's like in the movie Network, where he talks about this, you know, not exactly in the same way, but the main character, Howard Beale, says, you know, it's not that, and I don't think anyone else is going to take over. We're just reaching this horrific end first because we are first. So it's not something that's, you know, inherent to us. But just to read a little bit of On Bullshit by Harry G. Frankfurt. I love this part where he says, "The alternative to telling a lie as bullshitting one's way through. This involves not merely producing one instance of bullshit. It involves a program of producing bullshit to whatever extent the circumstances require. This is a key, perhaps to his preference. Telling a lie is an act with a sharp focus. It is designed to insert a particular falsehood at a specific point in a set or system of beliefs in order to avoid the consequences of having that point occupied by the truth. This requires a degree of craftsmanship in which the teller of the lie submits to objective constraints imposed by what he takes to be the truth." This, he goes on, he discusses it because, let's be honest, lying and bullshitting are two different things. They're linked, right? But they're not the same. Bullshitting has a degree of artistry to it. You can't just, if a lie would be like, I'm 100 feet tall. You know, that's a lie. Simple, direct, honest. A bullshitter would go, you know, I'm a really tall person, probably more tall than most people. You know what I mean? I anywhere between X and Y feet tall. And it's always an exaggeration. But it's not a, I mean, it is a lie, but it's done so in such that it becomes more palatable to the person absorbing the bullshit. So I think that's what happens in this country. That's what we're at in terms of this election right now. It's all bullshit. It is all bullshit completely. We're getting lied to so much right now by everyone from everywhere. But it's done so, so that a way we can slowly accept it. So we can go, we're being bullshitted, but that's par for the course. So it's an amazing phenomenon and a great book. I highly recommend it. You can hear one of the part I was reading. It was a little wordy, a little dense, but it's also a cool book to have on your shelf. Like if someone you don't know is like, you know, just musing through your library collection, they go, On Bullshit, what is this? They always stop at this. I always find everyone that sees this on my bookshelf, they go, it's a small, tiny book. They always pick it up and go, what? Huh? And I always have to explain it to them. I'm like, no, you know, it tries to explain something that we're all familiar with, but we all don't really have a full grasp. Americans are intimately involved with bullshit, but we don't have our hands around it. It's something that is just kind of there in the room, and we kind of ignore it. But we can't help but deal with it because there's so much of it. You know, from our education system, that's bullshit. Let's be honest. Some people think religions are full of shit. You know, they're just... Again, I'm having a hard time describing bullshit, which is why I got the damn book in the first place. So anyway, On Bullshit by Harry G. Frankfurt. That is our book for this week. Check it out. It's really great. It's really short. Worth a read, especially today. And being played out. So I hope you all have a wonderful night, and hopefully we survive this election season, if that's what it even is anymore. It's your boy Rich, aka Library Monster on TikTok, and I'll see you guys next time. Thanks for listening.